All right. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Trust me, I'm going to do this rather quickly. I really am. This was a couple change sermon. It was a couple changes. How many know what today is? How many know? It's the first Sunday of the NFL. It starts today. The Cowboys are playing today. Woo! Come on, Cowboy fans. Hold on. Come on, Cowboy fans. Oh, Remy, come on. Throw me a bone. That's a... I mean, Glenn, you're a Cowboy fan, aren't you, Cowboy fan? All heads bowed, eyes closed. We just in Jesus' name. Anyways, I'm excited. There's my dear wife. And today we're going to talk to you about, are you a fan? Oh, two microphones? Sorry. We're going to talk to you today really quickly. Oops.
Very quickly.
What are we going to talk about, honey?
I don't know.
You got a beverage.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
Just so you know.
Steve's getting me a
beverage. Carl gave me the notes at 8:30 this morning.
Do you know why I gave you the notes at 8:30 this morning?
Because he just finished them at 8:30 this morning.
So, you know, man, cheer up, right? You know, I mean, my God. So how are you, honey? You okay?
Good. What a great morning.
Yeah, what a great morning.
Really great morning for the family to celebrate together. Anyways, feeling all lovey-dovey about my family.
So what are you a fan of? I know you're a fan of every Friday night you watch...
Beat Bobby Flay.
Thank God we have two TVs.
Are you lost there?
I apparently, again, I might get canceled.
Carl's having a complete brain fart today.
I am. I got name problems. I got password problems. Boom. I made it. That's fantastic.
What am I a fan of?
What are you a fan? I know you're a fan of Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
The only thing about Cheryl is Cheryl thinks if you watch a cooking show, it's a meal replacement. So
it's
sit there with her. I watch. I go, you know, I think we got some of that stuff in the fridge. You know, we could do that. We got some of that. Cheryl, I'm good. I said, I don't get that at all, you know. But anyway, are you guys any fans here today? Anybody? I'm a fan of a lot of stuff. I'm a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they probably. Thank you. Any Montreal Canadian fans here? Why? Like why? Like why did God do that to me? Leafs fans? Canadians fans? See, that's troublesome. Anyways. But you know, I don't even think they know I exist, but I know they exist, and I'm in. I'm a fan, you know. And so what we want to do is we went to NASCAR. We went down.
And actually, I went not really wanting to go because I've watched NASCAR on TV, and all it does for me is put me to sleep. But it was an event.
Any NASCAR fans? Yeah, buddy.
Well, Rick served on.
Rick was serving on a team all summer.
For 10 years, he served on. Did you serve on? This team?
Oh no, that team. That guy doesn't drive anymore, honey.
Oh, okay.
Cheryl, she's not really a fan, but if Cheryl gets to the event, she needs all the stuff.
Oh yeah, I want all the stuff.
We get there to the track,
earphones.
And then Cheryl's like, "Who are we watching?" I said, "I'm a Dale Jr. fan." She says, "Well, let's get a Dale Jr. jacket." So we got to go buy a Dale, and then you know we can't just watch the race. We got to get the headphones where you can hear everything that's going on, and not just headphones because it's loud, but headphones where you got 50 channels and you can check out every driver, who's talking to who, what's going on. And she needs, if she's going to show up, she's going to get the full experience. So like she's a full time fan. Mm-hmm. So we had to buy that jacket, and Cheryl, I dragged it out of the closet today just because she's never worn it again. But I said, hey, come on. She's not much of a fan. But listen, we don't want to be a fan. Believers are not called to be fans. You're not called to be here like, yay, Jesus on Sunday. Yay, Jesus, give you one day. Yay, Jesus, it's a fun day. Yay, Jesus, you get one day, half, couple hours maybe. I mean, we don't want fans. We want followers. He's not looking for people who are just checking in. He's looking for people that are in. Last week I showed you, we're not here to make attenders. We're here to make disciples. And that's not, we're not here, we're not taking over the next side to get a bigger room so we can have a bigger crowd. We don't want a crowd. We don't want attenders. We're not looking for people that want to just hang out and watch, you know, some presentation about Jesus every Sunday. We're looking to make disciples. We're looking to make people who every day of their lives, 24/7, I am a child of God. I belong to a community. I'm not just connected to you. I wander in on Sunday and I say hi, blah, blah, blah. But 24/7, I'm a part of this family.
Amen. Amen.
So that's what we're looking for. Amen, amen. Pastor Cheryl. Yes. Matthew 4:19, then he said, follow. He said, come, follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and hang at the bus stop and wait till you get to go to heaven. No, jeez, you didn't get saved to get to go to heaven. You got touched, you got brought into the family of God so that you could now change the world. God wants to change the world, and he wants you. Look what it says, make disciples of the nations. Make disciples of the nations. So we got a pretty strong call in our lives, right? Amen. So we're not waiting here at the bus stop.
No.
We're not waiting just to get, you know, you weren't told that come to Jesus and you get to go to heaven. You were told come to Jesus and you get life. Come to Jesus and you get to operate out of his kingdom. Come to Jesus and now your life is superpower, superhuman. It's empowered by him. Every day of your life you walk out of and you live out of the resources of the heavenly realm. You're a child of God operating out of the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're doing. So we're not here.
I don't have to get to heaven. Heaven's come to me and live in my heart.
Yes. It's not some place I get to go to, but he brought it to me so that we can change the world.
Yep.
Was I talking fast?
Nope.
So church, not a place you gather on Sunday, it's the family. Amen. So I want you to circle right now the most important job, the most important thing to God. All right, you ready? Circle the most important one. Everybody look, it's there. You can all see it. So circle the most important one. Clearly, it's the pastor. Amen. I don't think did I spell pastor right? I don't even think I spelled pastor right.
No, you spelled it right.
Did I?
In your notes you didn't, but in your thing you did.
I don't know how that happened because it came out of the thing.
Anyway. I was reading over this morning, I went, circle the most important to God, pasto. Pasto? Do you mean pasta?
I probably was thinking pasta. Anyways. Not that you would do anything about that. But anyways, so. Let's close in prayer. So just almost there. We're always
I
there.
Did pull Martin chicken
Luther,
out.
You did pull chicken out. That's awesome. Martin Luther said, a cobbler, a smith, a farmer, each has its work in the office of his trade, consecrated priests and bishops. Your vocation is a holy calling. Whatever you're doing right now, you're in ministry. Whatever it is, whatever you're doing, you're in ministry right now. Like you're not, ministry isn't like the pastors and leaders and people in a church. That's like a step up. It's not a hierarchical thing. It's a functional thing. But every one of us are in ministry. Every one of us serve in an anointed call every day. So work is worship. Life is worship. Your call is a holy vocation. I think this is interesting right here.
Yes.
This verse is interesting. Why do you think it's interesting?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me first?
Did you not make it to rehearsal?
No.
I love this verse though. Look what it says. It says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Mm-hmm. Usually a person should keep on with the work he was doing when God called him.
It's like, you know, sometimes you get saved and think you need to change vocations or change jobs or something because now God wants to do something holy, so you need to get out of your secular job. But that's really not the case. God wants you to influence the world where he's put you. In your lane. If you're a server, then serve well. If you're a carpenter, then do it well. If you're a welder, then do it well. Work within your sphere of influence. Just like Julie was saying, it was almost like she had your
she
notes
did.
Beforehand.
She was saying all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why what we're giving is like a little recap. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4:16, from him. It's from him. The whole body is joined together, held together by every supporting ligament, and it grows and builds itself up as Each part does its work. So for us to function and be everything God's called us to be, because we are called to transform the city of London and beyond. We are called to change this city and change it all. It's not going to happen if we are fans. It's only going to happen if we're followers.
Yeah.
It's only going to happen if every one of us understands that for us to realize, I can't realize it alone. You can't realize it alone. But we can realize it together.
There's no I in team.
There's no I in team. But you know what? In team, there is me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just thought I'd point that out. So each part does its work. So full maturity only happens together. Romans, Paul had so many partnerships. And when you read Paul's letters, you find out Paul couldn't do anything without people working with him, agreeing with him. He said, greet Aquila and Priscilla, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. That's powerful. It says, when we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. I mean, grace works. Grace manifests. Grace exercises. Grace does something. And it's the word that where we get synergy from. It's the Greek word synergos. And synergos is two words. It's with and to labor. With and to work. Soon and ergos, to work together. So we're working together. So synergy is the interaction, the cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to say is...
Synergy.
I'm trying to say, let's work together. You just look beautiful.
In sync energy.
You'll never find.
So synergy is like another love like energy, mine. Which means that when we're at
someone team, who cares about you the way I do. Oh, I'm not bragging on myself, baby, but I'm the one who loves you, and there's no one else. Sorry.
Synergy. So a team that is in sync and all of their energy is working towards one outcome.
Amen.
Amen. And so as the family of God, as people of God, every single one of us is responsible with the gifts and callings that God's put on us. And so that we can in sync our energy, our gifts and our callings and do something great for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. What do you
You'll mean? Never find. Anyways. Michael Jordan, one of my favorite theologians, amen. Talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. Teamwork and intelligence.
And the intelligence with teamwork is that, you know, there's generally kind of leaders who know how to effectively equip and release their team to do the thing that they're best gifted to do.
True.
That's the intelligence of team.
Amen.
Is that you know how every person fits into the grand scheme.
Isn't that great? And God puts us together in the body of Christ as He fits and as He wills. And He gives us gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip saints to properly function in their settings and callings. So I love this. I've shared this with you before, but I love these draft horses. These are Belgian draft horses. And those horses are going to pull all of those logs. Have you ever picked up a log? Like, have you ever picked up a big log? Like, wood is dense.
Heavy.
I mean, dense. And I mean, I look at all of that, I go, oh my goodness, those two little horses, they look so tiny. But they're going to pull that. Did you know, alone, one of those horses pulls 8,000 pounds. But it says, when you get two horses together, and they work together, they're trained together, and they understand each other, they've developed a relationship, coordinated and trained teamwork, collaboration. It says, when they've got that, they can pull those two. Instead, it's like double would be 16,000. But when you take your energy and you give your strength to one another together, two of those horses can pull 50,000 pounds.
That's crazy.
50,000. Together, we can do so much more. Mm-hmm. Together we can do so much more. Turn to your neighbor right now, say, together we can do so much more. Amen.
And I like the whole idea that they are trained to collaborate.
Trained.
Collaboration doesn't always happen instantaneously or spontaneously. Sometimes you got to learn how to collaborate together.
You got to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You got to
be
that.
Trained.
And you know what that takes? It takes time. Mm-hmm. It takes effort. It takes time to spend together. That's why we do things like small groups. Start
Amen.
In a few weeks. We plug in with each other. We connect with each other. And we train and we learn to flow with one another, so it's really important. Amen. A great church is not built on the talent of a few, but on the dedication and sacrifice of many. It'll take a growing team to transform the city and beyond. Amen.
Amen.
So Acts
like
chapter 6.
Yesterday, we had
yesterday.
68 women, but you know, when it was all over, I saw women praying with other women. I saw people washing dishes, putting tables away, putting chairs away. And it just kind of culminated a really, really great event when I saw that team working and collaborating together.
I just want you to know that Stephen and I put all the chairs and tables around.
Thanks, Stephen and PK.
So, Stephen, what you did quietly that nobody knew about, now you get no reward for an eternity. Because I just put it out there. Sorry. Sarah helped too. Nothing for her either. All right, so, amen. Hey, real quick, you ready? Acts chapter 6. But the believers rapidly multiplied. Say, rapidly multiplied.
Rapidly
multiplied. The first service, the first time Peter preached, 3,000 people were added to the
church.
Where were they added to the? Where were they? No, they weren't. Sorry. They were added to the church. Say church.
Church.
Go back, look at your Bibles. So they were added to the church that day, 3,000 people, and it is the broader kingdom, but they're added to the church. The
church
is that. Could
you imagine 3,000 people being added to the church?
One day.
One day.
One day went from 120 to 3,000. How many think that would be a problem? Be a problem. But I'm telling you, we're going to get blasted with people really, really soon.
Like even for us, when we moved in here, we started with like 100 people.
Yeah, we weren't sure who we were pastoring. With the pandemic, we didn't know what was going on. I was thankful that we were still getting checks in the mail. I didn't know who we were pastoring. Then we opened these doors last service up at the school. We had maybe 75 or 80 people. I didn't know what was going on. We're calling people. I'm still your pastor, right? Well, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But boom, we opened the doors and God's
been
good.
And our first Easter celebration, we went
overrun.
Home that Sunday,
yeah.
And we went, oh my gosh, we should have taken the whole 20,000
Should have taken
feet.
The whole 30,000.
30,000.
30,000. 30,000. It was Joseph. Joseph came in, first time he walked in the doors, he came walking up and he says, why did you build it so small? It was his first time here. I said, thanks very much. Who are you? Anyway, so
Acts that chapter creates six. All new problems.
All new problems.
All new problems. Good ones, but all new, not problems, all new opportunities
all
for
new,
us to address and
so
for
good.
Us to solve and for us to manage.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change that from problems to opportunities from now on.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a few calls yesterday that gave me opportunities. Anyway, so thank you, Lord, for opportunities. Hey. But as believers rapidly multiplied, there was rumblings and discontent. I mean, right there in the early church, thousands of people, they grew so rapidly in the early church, but they were grumbling, mumbling. I mean, this is a strong disagreement. The Greek-speaking people were saying, they complained. The Greek people, they complained about the Hebrew people. They were accusing each other of bigotry and racism. They were saying, you're preferring, you're discriminating. There are people here being preferred above other people racially. You are racially preferring people above themselves. That was a serious problem. I mean, a big deal. So they complained. And it said, there are widows have been discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 got together and said, don't talk to us like that. We're in charge here. Shut up and sit down. Amen. That was good, wasn't it? That was good. So the 12 got together and they called a meeting of all the believers. They wouldn't do that. I think that's the beauty of the whole thing is they said, wow, we have a problem. And I think it's great, even as a leader, when you say, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it had to be, have you ever been to a church where they said, we got to bring everybody to church for a meeting because we got a problem? You ever been to church where they called a whole church meeting because there's trouble? I mean, when you call a whole church meeting, there's trouble. I mean, you're asking for every single person, please come, we have a problem. So this was a serious problem. And I mean, they had to deal with this. They called everybody together. And here's what they said. We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. And so the brothers, he said, please select out 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. And we will give them this responsibility. Say responsibility.
Responsibility.
Say responsibility.
Responsibility.
Say responsibility. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got responsibilities.
Amen. Come on.
Amen. You got it. All right. Then the apostles can spend their time prayer and teaching the word. And listen, everyone liked this idea. And so they chose Stephen, they chose Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, and that was it. They chose those guys. These 7 were presented to the apostles. They prayed for them, laid hands on them, so God's message continued to spread. Here was the outcome of this full-on everybody-come meeting. Here was the outcome of a big, big problem in the church. The outcome was they dealt with it well, they resolved it well, and they realized that a few people doing all the work will not work.
Mm-hmm.
A few people trying to carry the whole load, this isn't a way forward. So they had to make a change right away. We had to release people, and people had to find their giftings, their callings, and get
it was a
in.
Diverse team.
Yeah.
So that they were equally represented.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Greek problem, and all 7 of those men had Greek names.
Mm-hmm.
So they chose a whole bunch of Greek people to help because, mm-hmm. Hey, I don't know. Sometimes the pastor can't even pronounce names properly. So he's like a troubled individual. Right, we're going to wrap it up. You ready? Say wrap it up, Pastor.
Wrap it up, Pastor.
We're going to wrap it up in about 40 minutes.
Oh. So.
All right, listen, 1 Peter 4:10. Each one of you has received a gift. Each one. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a gift. There's something inside of you. There's something inside of you that's for me. There's something inside of you that you got to release for others. And it says every one of us has a gift. One translation says every one of us has a shape. shape. My shape is pretty awesome. Some people don't have as awesome a shape as I do. I can barely get in this shirt. But it's my shape, my glory is manifesting. Anyways, minister it to one another. Minister it to one another. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're committed to, we're committed to toy.
Do you not use spell check?
Well, toy is a word, so.
Oh, right. But doesn't it just pick up toy realizing, committed toy realizing? Anyways, sorry.
We are committed to realizing your shape. We are committed to it. All right, real quick, here's the shape. You ready? You got spiritual gifts, you got a heart, you got abilities, you got a personality, and you got experiences, and that's your shape. And all of us have experiences. I mean, you had Stephanie yesterday come and share her experiences. She shared her life. She shared things. And how many people got touched there? And, you know, I heard testimonies after that of people who, it opened things up in their own lives because someone was willing to be vulnerable and share their experiences, share their life. And it's amazing when we get involved and engage with each other. It's amazing what can happen.
God uses every part of you as well. You know, it's not just about God using your spiritual gifts. He uses what kind of moves you in your heart, your natural abilities and talents, and your personality as well. And so, and all of you, like, he doesn't leave any part of you out. If you're going to be an effective person, God wants to use all of you to do the ministry.
Yeah, we're committed. We really are. We have tools and we have things and we have people that are equipped and trained to help you. If you're sitting there going, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know. Then you need to call us because we'll engage you.
I think it's been a mistake in Christianity just to kind of focus on the spiritual gifts, you know,
yeah,
and ignore natural talents, natural experiences, and natural personality as well. Because I think, you know, God gave me a personality. He wants to use it. It's going to be effectual for something. God gave me talents. They're useful. And so don't look at yourself as a one-dimensional person. You're a full package with a shape, with abilities, with experiences, with talents, and everything else.
And there's people in this house with backgrounds, professions, experience that we can connect you with people in this house that will help you. There are people here that would love to walk with you, to mentor you through a temporary situation or walk in life with you and help you through situations. So don't ever do this alone. We're not a group that gathers on Sunday. We're 24/7 the family of God, and we can lean on each other and depend on. Thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, let a little pitter patter there. All right, so Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created to do good things. We are his poem. I got two questions for you. All right, here's how you can start to realize this might be somewhere that I'm called to get involved in. All right, two questions. I want to ask you this question. What makes you tick? What makes you tick? I mean, what do you get excited about? What do you go, that's my, I love that. Like, some people come and they want to be involved in worship team because they love to worship. They love to sing. They got gifts and abilities and strengths, and they love to do that.
I'd like to be involved in worship too.
Sorry?
But I just can't sing.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't get past the
response. What makes you tick? When I think about that, I think about John chapter 4 when Jesus was ministering to the Samaritan woman, and he sent the guys into town to get some food. And so he'd spent some time with this woman. They came back out and said, Rabbi, we have food and drink for you. And he says, I have food and drink that you know nothing about. He says, my food and my drink is to do the will of my Father. And what Jesus is saying there is, what gives me sustenance, what gives me energy, what supplies me is to do the will of my Father. And what was he just doing? He was just ministering to that Samaritan woman. So when you think about what makes you tick, think about the things that energize you, that make you feel like you just had like a buffet meal and you're energized and you can take on the world.
Yeah.
That's how you kind of discern what makes you tick.
Yeah, yeah, Robin, you're here, aren't you? Robin, you're here? Robin's
what?
Sorry? Thank you. I think Robin. Well, you love Robin came in. She tried a bunch of stuff. She said, I'm going to try kids' church. Yeah, didn't like that. But you know, got involved. And sometimes you got to try some stuff out.
Krista.
Check some stuff out. I mean, get involved in things. No, Robin did that. She did. She did a couple of days in kids' church. Went, yeah, no. So, But hey, that was pretty awesome, right? You know, so, hey, and then what ticks you off? Like, if you show up church and you see something going, you know, some of that, that's not done very well. Somebody should deal with that. Well, don't just walk past it. Come talk to us. Say, like, you know, I think we could do something better, you know? And there's things that would annoy me. And sometimes what annoys me, I realize that the reason I see that is because I've got a skill in that area that I can make that better. I can help in that area.
That's really true
there.
Because, you know, we're focused in one direction, but if you see something from a different direction that should be addressed, we need you to tell us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's important.
All right, so I got one more verse and we're going to wrap it up. One more verse. Ready? Ready? Everybody say yay.
Yay.
Everybody say go Cowboys. That was really weak. I just, man, Lord Jesus. One verse, Romans 12, verse 1 from the Message. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take, not like your little compartments of my spiritual life and my little things. Don't do that. Your whole life is worship. That's why, you know, everything I do, my whole life is to worship. Every aspect of it, I do it as unto the Lord. So I want you to do that. But I want you to really prepare, because there's going to be some demands put on our lives in the next few weeks as we start to move forward and do things. And we're going to start a series next week that is called Open House. And we're going to have an open house in October. And we're going to invite the whole neighborhood to come and experience us and be a part of us. So we're going to work together, that we're going to put ourselves in a crisis in this place. And we're going to need you to help us. We're going to need you to get involved. So we want you all, don't be shy. Don't be awkward. Sometimes people, well, I was going to get involved, but nobody asked me. If that's you and you're saying, nobody asked me, are you ready? I'm asking you, please, would you get involved? Please, would you consider what your role is? Please, if you don't know and you need help, come and talk to us. Let's spend some time together, because that's our role and responsibility, is equip you and put you and place you where you can be so satisfied and so excited about what God wants you to do. Amen?
I remember when we moved down to 220 Adelaide, and we had several seniors who weren't physically able to help us to do the renovation. But we had this beautiful little old lady make sandwiches for us all the time.
Yeah.
Elaine? Something like that. Anyways, but she used her gift and her talent.
Yeah.
And she, you know, served the body as we worked and toiled and painted until all hours of the day.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something you can
do. There's something we can all do.
Jump up on your...